Rajajanaranjan Yamunatira Vanachari Tira Vanachari Jairadha Madhava Kunjabitani Radha Madhava Kunjabitani Gopi Jana Vallava Grivardari Gopi Jana Vallava Grivardari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Tira Vanachari Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Putale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ite Namine Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Putale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ite Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Niryasesha Sunyavari Paskachadajatarine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Niryasesha Sunyavari Paskachadajatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhar Shri Vasa Bhaktavinda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhar Shri Vasa Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Upada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada, Hila Prabh. Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnupad Padmahansa Prabhupada Sauta Sata Shishu Mahat. Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Padmahansa Prabhupada Sauta Sata Shishu Mahat. Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namachari Srila Haridasa Thakura Ki Jai. Premasaka Ho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Shriya Dvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Go Bhaktivinoda Ki. Vrindavan Dham Ki. Mayapur Dham Ki. Dorkadam Ki, Munamaya Gangamaya Ki, Samveda Vaktavrinda Ki. All glory is the symbol of Odis. All glory is the symbol of Odis. All glory is the symbol of Odis. All glory is the Sisi Guru and Gurunga. All glory is the Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, Text 6. Tatra cha kavchit hatapodaka nibhan isayan Upadavati Pana Bhojana Vyayati Vyasana Lolupada Lolupada Tatra Chakavita Tapdoka Napyam Sivasyam Udbhajan Pana Bhajan Vivayati Vyasya Lolupada Tatra Chakavita Tatra cha David tapyadaka nibyan visayam upadavati pana bhojana viyadyati vyasya lalupadaha. Anybody can do it? Nobody? All you Sanskrit scholars out there? Ladies? Tatra, there, in the phantom place. Cha, also. Kavachit, sometimes. Atapa, Udaka, Vivan, like the water in the mirage in the desert. Visayan, the objects of sense enjoyment. Upadavati, runs after. Pana, to drinking. Bhojana, to eating. Vyavaya, to sex life. Adi, and so on. Vyasan, with addiction. Kulapaha, debachi. Translation purport by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sometimes in this house in the sky, Gandharva Pura, the conditioned soul drinks, eats, and has sex. Being overly attached, he chases after the objects of the senses like a deer chases a mirage in a desert. Please repeat. Sometimes in this house in the sky, Gandharva Pura, the conditioned soul drinks, eats, and has sex. Being overly attached, he chases after the objects of the senses. Just as a deer chases a mirage in the desert. Purport. There are two worlds, the spiritual and the material. The material world is false like a mirage in the desert. In the desert, animals think they see water, but actually there is none. Similarly, those who are animalistic try to find peace within the desert of material life. It is repeatedly said in different shastras that there is no pleasure in this material world. Furthermore, even if we agree to live without pleasure, we are not allowed to do so. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that the material world is not only full of miseries, dukkhanilam, but also temporary, asatvatam. Even if we want to live here amidst miseries, material nature will not allow us to do so. It will oblige us to change bodies and enter another atmosphere full of miserable conditions. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishnastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Stay Sadvati Vodavana Bichaya Nirvasesha Sunyavati Paskacha. This whole chapter is dealing with the conditions of the material existence in this forest of miseries that permeates within the whole karmic life. And the whole chapter deals with this thing in different degrees. So from the beginning to the end of the chapter, we understand that ultimately there's only one salvation, and we hear it over and over again. That's the shelter of the spiritual master. And so a person who doesn't lie, doesn't cheat, who is a guru, who is a bona fide guru? A person that is free from all the miseries and free from the, you know, the what happens, you know, adi daivik, adi voltik, so that ultimately that person is free and liberated and can lead and take people out of the miseries that, you know, are encompassed in this material world. And so the mirage in the desert, I've seen that, you know, where you're seeing water, you're looking at it and it's floating and it's like luminous, and this, the heat brings the waves up, and it's like it looks like it's for real. So the mirage is like that in the material world, that we're seeing things that we think are real, but they're false. And one devotee, Yogeshwar, made a comment. He was repeating what Prabhupada said. What is the difference between a daydream and a night dream? And so if it's the dream at night is false, and so what about the, you know, existence that we see around us? Everything we see is real. It looks, you know, tangible. Our bodies, you know, real. And so how can it be false? So Prabhupada said, this is classic, that ultimately you're awake longer. You got that one? And so, okay, we're dreaming at night, but during the daytime we're daydreaming, and the whole thing is just phantasmagoria. And so those who have good dreams, they have good lifestyle, and they enjoy. And ultimately that enjoyment is temporary. So it's all temporary. Now, if we look at it minutely, and it goes on to say about material and married life as being like the cap on the frosting on a cake of misery, that ultimately, if you're married, that's the worst thing that can happen to your spiritual life. I happen to have had a good marriage. My wife actually dragged me to this movement. If it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't be here. I was very happy sitting in my hometown, doing what I do now, making paintings and enjoying life. And so now it's just a different kind of an enjoyment. Ultimately, the miseries have cut down. For a devotee, okay, there are diseases, there's, you know, the colds and the change of seasons. I mean, now it's getting cold, you know, you get cough. But what to speak about people having their heads cut off and, you know, and misery of like, you know, being beheaded in Syria and these places just because you're an American. Good place not to go if you're American. And so now they're landing on comets. You know, that's the latest thing now. They've been able to, you know, technology has gotten it so that they can land on a comet that's flying in space. Like, what's the point? Ultimately, and it's mentioned later in a chapter about kings and royalty, that they have this opportunity to enjoy like anything. And so, the Mormon church founder, Smith, he had 40 wives, and so he knew about enjoying. Polygamy was, of course, accepted by that church. And even the Vedic, you know, system has given that okay, you know. There's not a ban on it. So, and Prabhupada, at one point earlier in the movement, I remember that, it was like, says, okay, now you can have as many wives as you want. So I started looking around. I saw, oh, there's three or four more that I can maybe pick up on and really enjoy. But I had one wife, and that was enough. One is enough. That's okay. But then Prabhupada changed it. And then I made a comment once. There was a wedding here some months back, and I said a happy marriage is for this new couple is that you give each other a lot of space. That a person like a now they got these books of madness from Mars and Venus for the women. Okay, so a man needs a cave. He needs a space where he can be alone and have his own space of time. So I says, okay, give each other a little space and your wedding, your marriage will be very successful. I give my wife a lot of space. She's in L.A. and I'm in Vrindavan. So no problem. I've got a lot of space. And so spacing is opposed to spacing out, where actually you see that people in the material world, they miss it. They miss the point. There's no guru. Oh, you just got the joke. And and so without any knowledge, without it's just hellish. And so, you know, you try to enjoy for a while. I had friends who in the military. You know, if you make a mistake, you get demoted, and you got in the Navy, you got hash marks, meaning 4 years in service. So there's one guy, he had a whole bunch of them. He had about 40 years in the Navy, and he had just the two little stripes up here, which meant he was broken down all the way down to the lowest rank just before he retired. And so many times a man and woman are saving up for their whole lifetime existence, and at the moment of when they retire, I have my uncle Lito. He was the guy blowing gaffer in this corny glass that's on a symbol. And so he used to get a new Cadillac every year. That was his sense of enjoyment. He'd trade in the old Cadillac and buy a new one every year. And so that went on for several years. Then finally, he was retired. And 2 months after he retired, he stroked and he died. And so this happens over and over again in the material world. People are not understanding where the enjoyment really is. That ultimately, if they start chanting and dancing, they would find a whole other realm of existence. But we are fortunate. How fortunate we are. Because of what Prabhupada has done to save all of us. And I'm going to make this repeat some. We were just talking, Maharaj and I. Some of these things that were predicted 500 years ago, plus. Nostradamus, take it or leave it, but it's in the quadrants, that he predicted Prabhupada's appearance. He saw in his, whatever he had, a pan of water, whatever it was, he could see into the future that a person would come out of the east dressed in rose-colored garments and saffron, carrying a rod. And that person would actually transform even the mountains of stone, stone-like, meaning the Germans that were like, you know, causing so much trouble, their movement. He says his words will be like sweet nectar, and it'll break the stones of the cold-hearted persons. And he will change the world through the shaved-headed ones. He mentions twice, shaved-headed. And so that's Nostradamus, way back in the time of Lord Chaitanya's, same time, 500 years back. And he also predicted, he saw this person coming out of the east, dressed in saffron, no, first dressed in yellow, changing into blue. So he's looking at both Gorni Thai. And so he said, this person, in 500 years, his renown will be heard throughout the world. And at that time, 500 years from now, there'll be a possibility of a major disaster in nuclear energy. Didn't say nuclear, but it was mentioning that there'll be fire from the sky. And there'll be a person who carries the rod will be able to defend that. That's Prabhupada. So in any case, this is Nostradamus 500 years ago, given as a prediction that there would have been a nuclear war had not the Sankirtan movement taken place. And so we can rest assured that this will continue, that as the movement grows and chanting expands all over the world, ultimately there will be a kind of peace until this thing happens, where there'll be a high rate of change in the atmosphere, and like there'll be like another conscious level. The world will raise up and some people will perish and whatever. Okay, so I want to make a point that there's... Wait a minute. Okay, there's a couple. There's another point I want to make right now. Okay, it's about dream merchants. Now, it's mentioned that in this Kali Yuga, in this time now, in this material existence, there'll be dream merchants. Now, dream merchant, this is very common in Vrindavan. A dream merchant is a person who knows what you want to do. He sees your dream. You want to spread the movement by preaching in a certain way. I can help you. I'll take advantage of that. I mean, I can help you promote your dream. So that promotion means he takes everything that you have and sucks it dry. And like I had the experience with there's a big wealthy family in Bombay. And so I was getting involved with them, and they seemed to suck you dry and take all your energy, just drop you off. Then that family had a wedding. And that wedding, they spent crores and crores of rupees, very famous wedding, you know, highly, on a social level, very high. And so it was a couple months later, the girl was ugly as sin, and so the guy who married her, I guess, got fed up, and 2 months later they were divorced. So material life is like that. And in this existence in material, in marriage life, can be miserable, or it can be an added factor to your spiritual life. So it means if you promote, if you are understanding the nature of what material life is about and about married life, ultimately it can flow and enhance your Krishna consciousness. So I think just beware of people who dress like devotees and some people who are on the street here in Vrindavan, and they take your dreams and they'll rip you off. And the ladies on the rickshaws having their earrings and necklaces ripped off. So Kali Yuga is advancing here in Vrindavan. So we're besieged by little miseries that take place. But ultimately, wow, that's different. That we have to be careful in our association and never slip. There's a chance for everybody to be loose and a little neglectful. And Prabhupada made the comment that we don't worry. We don't. Maya is very strong. We don't have enough respect for the potency of Maya. So if you turn away from Krishna just for a moment, you're bingo. You're in Maya. My God. Okay. In this, it's talked about unbearable sounds that the crickets are making noise, and when you hear a whole big field of crickets, it's pretty loud. But here in Vrindavan, you got the loudspeakers, you got people speaking at a high volume. When they speak on a phone, they scream and yell at each other. I have a neighbor, and they're sitting on each side of a bed. Now you can imagine, they're on a bed, not too far away, and they're screaming at each other. And I says, "What's going on?" I walked over, and I was, you know, my house is like, distant, from here to across the street. And so I could hear the screaming. So I went over and I said, "Is everything okay? Is like something wrong?" "No, no, we're just talking." So the normal conversation, what to speak of? Crickets. I mean, the loudspeakers and the bells and everything else that makes noise is like, just exemplified and keyed up so that your senses are like intimidated that it's an insult. And you walk down the street, you go out at night. I mean, I don't go out at night anymore. I just can't bear it. But when I came to Vrindavan 37 years ago, it was a whole different world here. But now, ultimately, it's becoming like the suburb of Delhi. And it's going to get worse. It's only going to get more and more contaminated. And ultimately, you have to find shelter in the holy name of the Prabhupada and just close it down. Get closer to the spiritual world that we have. And in fact, we have to do that. When I leave my house in the morning at 3:15, and I get to the temple, I wake up the deities 3:36 normally. Should be woken up then. There's nobody on the street. And so, but prior to that, I mean, during the festival, when we had so many devotees there, such a power source, that means our movement is so strong. And if we somehow utilize that power, and it can take shape, with the holy name is bringing that to the head. Actually, the more chanting, the more Harinam, the stronger the force, and it'll increase until the point where, the Kali Yuga will be pushed off. So 10,000 golden years, these are the years that are starting right now. So whatever way we can do this is ultimately a blessing. And for my own case, I'm working right now making drawings for planetarium in Mayapur. And it's Gopa Kumar's trip to the spiritual world. If you've read Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it's a wonderful book. I recommend it for sure, because the stories are so beautiful. So I've illustrated the key moments. It's 108 drawings, and these will be dioramas going around the dome, the drum of the dome, three times. That's like a couple kilometers. Each one a diorama showing Gopa Kumar's adventures as he goes to the spiritual world. So we can sort of identify with that, that ultimately, you know, through Prabhupada's mercy, you know, we're given an opportunity to transcend this whole material existence. And so with all its pain and disasters that happen on a common level, I mean, I saw one thing that just blew my mind totally. And when I go to Facebook once in a while. Okay, I saw this thing that just shook me to the core. It showed a couple of young girls getting out of the car and coming to this very placid, beautiful, serene, wonderful-looking pastoral scene. Nice lake, you know, all beautiful woods and very peaceful. And so she backs up to the water to have her picture taken. And all of a sudden, a crocodile, an alligator, comes out of the water and snaps her up and sucks her right in, you know, eats her whole. And so I was shocked. I mean, I couldn't believe this, what I saw. I guess it could happen. But then it showed a purse floating on the surface, coming up out of the water. It was advertising for the purse. And so it was just such a shocking visual. And so you get that, and, you know, it's like, this is the material world. It's so shocking. And the other day we had a story about this couple. They had a little girl, and she had all her gold on. South India, they wear gold. And so she was dangling her hand in the water. I mean, Bhakuna Datta told a story in the Bhagavad Gita class. It's worth repeating. That ultimately, this alligator, crocodile, grabbed her arm. It was, you know, had a hold of her. It's like Gajendra. And so she may have been praying, but ultimately what they did, because the boat was starting to go down, that meant everybody in the boat was going to die. There are crocodiles floating around there. So they had to decide, a snap decision. The driver, the rower, said either she goes or we all go. Now, if you're ever in a condition where you're in the mouth of an alligator or a shark, hit for the eyes. I mean, that's the only thing you can do. If you're swimming in the ocean and a shark comes up, there are so many stories, a big bite and it bites off the surfboard. The sufferers, the Prabhupada said, in the ocean, they will be fish in their next life. That blew my mind when I first heard that. When I joined in Miami in 75, and so I was afraid to be seen on the street. I mean, I didn't know what this all about. I mean, I was new, brand new, and wearing a bed sheet, and I had my hair shaved off already. And I didn't want anybody to see me like that. So who comes along in Miami Beach as my next-door neighbor? You know, from upstate New York. And said, oh my God, she walked right by me, didn't identify me. So I thought, oh my God, I gotta get used to this. And so, in the beginning, when you see devotees on the street dancing and chanting, it used to be a common affair in America. But now it's like, you know, you don't see that so much as before. But it should be. It should be seen all over. In any case, devotional life is immune to the miseries of the material world. Another thing that, again, this is Facebook, about McDonald's French fries. It all relates because it's all about the same thing. That you think something as peaceful and common as a French fry would be, you know, be non-toxic. It would be like the GMO, of course, is like, you know, something that would be considered. But these particular potatoes that are used in these French fries, they're very long potatoes. This guy was telling all about food and what happens to food when it's cooked in major corporations cook and they do things that are just abominable. And so a big potato, in order to have, they reject anything with any kind of blemish on it. So it means they have to poison the field. And there's so much poison on these potatoes as they grow that ultimately they can't touch the potatoes for 5 days after they're ready to be harvested. 5 days it takes the poison to dissipate. Then they got to wear gas masks, you know, in order to breathe while they harvest these potatoes. Okay, then the additives that goes into a French fry is like all kinds of garbage. Make it look long, make it live, you know, make it look like it's got good life longer. In fact, you put the, they made an experiment about French fries and hamburgers from McDonald's, and they live a long time because there's so much, there's so much garbage in there, which keeps it fresh, you know, all the chemicals they put in. So the conclusion of all of this, here's a man experienced giving this dissertation about food. He said, do not eat any food that is cooked by corporation. Do not eat any any food that is cooked. In other words, the person who is like, you know, in the top of the line in this big corporation in food servicing, like there's some big companies that they cook and they serve every kind of food. And so the best thing is cook yourself. And so they say that over and over again. If you want to live and you want to survive, don't eat anything cooked by outside people, because everything is so contaminated. And then all the additives, you know, non-dairy milk products, even dairy products, they got all kinds of garbage in it. And so the material world is full of miseries on every level. Cheating goes on. And so I've been cheated left and right here in Vrindavan by so many. My workers, I've been making Prabhamurtis for many years here. And every way they could find a way to cheat and grab, they would stay awake all night long thinking of ways to cheat. And so it takes more energy to do that, to think and cheat, than it is to do a normal kind of an existence. So I had to close it all down, shut down the whole thing, gave everything away, just stopped the whole nonsense. Because ultimately I couldn't find any workers in Vrindavan that were honest, except ones that came from South India. They were a little more honest. But Prabhupada said that if you want an honest accountant, you get them from South India somewhere. Any South Indians here? You probably got a lot of them. In any case, another point. It's interesting that at that time Prabhupada landed in America, there are all these new gurus that were taking the limelight. And it's interesting that Prabhupada, amongst all these people, were just, there was so much, TM was like big and everything was going on, and the fat guy, Guru Maharaj, and then, anyway, they're all a bunch of good, they're all passed away, most of them are gone. But Prabhupada had to do his thing in the midst of all this. And one story I'm going to tell, I just heard about the Guru Das's book in the back. There's about Prabhupada, you know, this place is, see if I tell it right. But Prabhupada was with Guru Das and they needed water. This place is in drought. It's okay, let there be water. Boom. And so all of a sudden, you know, thunder and rain, and it started pouring down. Okay, we got water. And so Prabhupada, I got this book, Acharya, and in this book, there's so many stories on Prabhupada. Okay, and countering all the miseries and the, you know, Prabhupada was, you know, above and transparent. And so that whenever there was a misery, like Jadarani was very sick, almost died some years back. So she came in a wheelchair into Prabhupada's room and then had to crawl on her hands and knees to get to Prabhupada. And she was ready to die. She couldn't digest anything. She was like in a dying condition. And so Prabhupada just touched her on the head. Boom. And she was okay. You'll be all right. No problem. And so in Sahasrupa's Lilamrita, I just sent word to Nataraj and back to Godhead about the book Acharya, because a lot of it was all brand new stories. He didn't look at the book, basically, because he rejected the book and said it's all Lilamrita. But ultimately, stories like I experienced with Prabhupada, that just walking, face to face with Prabhupada, you know, for a few seconds, and Prabhupada will look into your eyes and just completely cleanse to the very, like just reaming out all the bad influences and all the garbage that goes through our system and our lives, our past lives. And so, at one time, my wife and I are standing by the exit in the LA temple. There's an alley, and Prabhupada would go out that alley in his limousines. And so there was one time, and his dark glass, and Prabhupada's coming by in a car, sitting in the back. And so I'm thinking, is this really true that finding a spiritual master many lifetimes, and is it really an eternal relationship? And two arc lights, two neon, you know, lights came out of the back of the car where his eyes are, and just, you know, burned right into my head and my wife also. So that, yeah, it's true. It's like an eternal relationship, and it's laser beams are pretty unusual to come out of a person's eyes. And there are many stories about Prabhupada that didn't make it into Lilamrita because they were mystical. The one story, and I just love this story, that there's a devotee, didn't want his name mentioned, but he's looking through the keyhole in Prabhupada. And so he looks through the keyhole and he sees this person in a crystal body with diamond eyes, you know, light coming out of nowhere, shining on Prabhupada. So he backed off and he came back later, and this time he looked in the keyhole to see if Prabhupada was okay, and he saw him rolling on the floor. And so he asked Prabhupada later, why were you rolling on the floor? He says, well, I was wrestling with Balaram. Okay, here's a person who wrestles with Balaram, is invited to Bhuvaneswar by Lord Shiva, because you're going all over the world, Maharaj, why don't you come to the Lord, why don't you come and visit me in Bhuvaneswar? Okay. And so he goes to Bhuvaneswar. Then that first story about, I mean, these are delightful stories, and now they're illustrated in the book. Sasarup didn't want it. It was controversial, and one person accounts, like Guru Kripa was just here, told me the story, and I got it verified, that Shyamasundar got a hold of a dab, because they were Vishakhapatnam. And they were getting ready to go to Calcutta by train. And so he got a dab and he gave it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada drank, you know, a good amount of that dab. Didn't seem like there was anything more left. Then he gave it to Shyamasundar. He drank from it. And finally Guru Kripa got it and he drank. And he said, I'm not going to give anybody any. I'm going to drink the whole thing. And so he kept drinking and drinking and drinking. And then he couldn't drink anymore. He passed it on. And so passed on to everybody in the kirtan group. And then ultimately he must have given it to a rickshaw wallah, and he's probably still drinking. And so Prabhupada's nectar is like, you know, it's unlimited. These stories are verified, so it's not like coming out of the days. One thing about, if you're cheated, if somebody steals from you, and like the women are getting their necklaces ripped off and anything like that, that happens. It used to be that we were thinking of dressing up in saris and go around at night, just wait for somebody to try it. You just beat the love of heaven out of them. And so in any case, if it happens, ultimately what's happening is that a person cheats you. He's giving you all this punya, all this pious credits on a silver platter. Ultimately that accumulation of everything that they have pious disappears when they cheat and they steal. So it's a warning for all of us that, you know, to lead a very clear-cut path in spiritual life, and that we don't cheat in any way possible. And if we owe money, pay it back, and if we got bank accounts, don't keep it. Because Prabhupada says, don't keep money in the bank. He says that just avoids taxes. And so that's one of the big things, that one of the miseries, is that government men will tax you to death, and ultimately you leave your home and hearth and go to the mountains. So Prabhupada, no bank accounts, or little money kept in the bank. So immediately builds temples and more books. And so when Guru Kripa was presenting his money to Prabhupada, he said that. He says, no, we can't wait with this. He wanted to put it in a bank account, let it accumulate, get enough money to build a temple, like he did here. And so Prabhupada said, no, immediately spend it. You get it in the morning, like Srila Bhakti, this night, you spend it at night, and it's gone. I wanted to mention something about a parallel. That here we are, it's mentioned about the material existence being a prison house, and here we are imprisoned in these bodies. Okay, if you go to a prison, now we venture into prisons quite a bit in preaching and giving Harinam and doing, like, you know, preaching to inmates. But we forget that we're imprisoned in these bodies. We're imprisoned in material existence, that the imprisonment is so strong, there's no way to get out except by death. If you suicide, then it becomes even a bigger prison house. So people in the prison, they're being watched by the guards. We're being watched by the demigods, by the moon and the sun. There's a routine that you get a chance to walk around, you know, free time in the prison courtyard. So we have space of time. We have, you know, 100 years maximum. 78 years is the life expectancy in America. And so we have that free space for a moment. Then we're incarcerated again back in jail. Then we go into solitary confinement. And sometimes that happens where we're lost and you're in a position where you just, you can't deal with anything. You just go into it. I mean, devotees here have suffered and they have committed suicide, unfortunately. But for a devotee to do it, it's just unthinkable. But it happens. I mean, they get the overwhelming forces of material nature so strong that ultimately it gets to even to the heart of a sincere devotee. So it means, just like Prabhupada warns up against this, just follow the pathway that Mahajans, and just keep grab a hold of Prabhupada Dodi and don't let go. Just whatever reason, whatever problems come up, it's temporary. Like this material existence. It's only here for a short time, and ultimately we're out of here. And so we don't want to come back. So ultimately, clear it up. Give away everything you have. Just clean house. Just, if you got attachments, detach. I've been doing that regularly, and I just find so much stuff still hanging around. You know, leaving things and getting rid of stuff, you know. Sell it off, throw it away. Just clean up and just simplify. So the simpler it becomes, KISS, keep it simple, stupid, is the famous thing in America. And so ultimately that's the answer for spiritual life, is that you just keep it as simple as you possibly can. And remove it. I had a car here. I had a bicycle. I gave it away, and the bicycle got stolen, so I walk. And so what's better than walking? Prabhupada walking and massages kept him in prime space. So simple for the simple, and complicated for those that complicate things. So in terms of what we do in our future here in these bodies, ultimately, if we keep it simple, we follow the program, ultimately it's a joyful ride, and you have no problem. I was in the American Navy, and so when somebody got washed overboard, the whole Sixth Fleet would turn, they come around looking for that one body, and then they go. There's no hope. You jump overboard. And so when you're on a ship in the ocean, you understand, like Prabhupada speaks about that in his journey across the Atlantic. It can be very stormy, and I remember times when we were walking on the walls. The ship would move so much rowing, I mean, it would roll back and forth. There were all kinds of movements. And so we were walking on the walls. Ultimately, you go 45, you go 44, 45, you flip. So there's danger at every step. So to avert the dangers that permeate in the material existence, it's incumbent on us to just think seriously about what you do in every moment. And don't take bad steps. Don't take chances. If you're in business, be careful if you jump into something that's over your head. Keep it simple. Keep it where you have control and you have knowledge. I mean, now I'm painting every day, making drawings. And so I'm listening to Prabhupada all day on tape. And so it's just like in the spiritual world. I mean, here in Vrindavan, we have that opportunity to do something that we can't do other places. We have Krishna's, this is the backyard. Krishna's right here. Yeah, right? And the deities are only pretending to be stone. They're very real. And so some days more than others, but always there's a presence. So we're benedicted. We have no problem in this life. The only thing we have is to avoid the miseries. And that kind of wraps it up. Oh, this time factor. Okay, Prabhupada mentioned here, and also in this chapter, you read through this whole chapter as it goes on, we're going to be hearing more and more about different aspects of the time factor, what happens with the time element, that ultimately you can't stop it, and it's going to change, and it destroys everything. And so the time factor is prevalent in so many different ways, but to make it exemplified, I did a change in body display. It became famous, became very well known as a preaching tool. So I made a change in body, small one, and it was to be presented to Prabhupada. Prabhupada came through the Diorama Fate Studios, and Bhardwaj, the leader, said, "Srila Prabhupada, would you like for your room, this diorama? It shows a change in bodies." And so Prabhupada looked at it, and he says, he summed up the whole philosophy in two words: "My room." He didn't have to know he wasn't his body, or he wasn't, you know, there was changes that are prominent in the body. So the body will change. And ultimately, we grow old gracefully. And ultimately, at some point, we pass away, and proper disciples are going fast. And it's an endangered species. And at one point, there'll be no more Prabhupada disciples. So all these stories about Prabhupada are very important to be passed on to disseminate this knowledge about what happened here in these years. The formative years of this movement are very important, that those who have memories of Prabhupada just speak about it and have it recorded. And this first book, Acharya, is meant to do that. It's going to go into Russian in color. And so a lot of these stories, like the first in Jansing, when Prabhupada was just beginning everything, and he had the first disciple at that time, he found Prabhupada dancing and chanting and just tears coming out of his eyes. He was just like, you know, explosive. He was just like going on and on. He couldn't stop. So he didn't bother him. Next morning, he asked Srila Prabhupada, "What happened? Where'd you get that garland?" He had this, you know, Kadamba flower garland. It was so fragrant. It just, like, you know, permeated like every part of the whole city. And so he said, "Well, Prabhupada gave me the garland. Krishna gave me the garland. And so I tried to touch his feet and I lost it. I couldn't control it after that." And so he was dancing. And so there's another story related to this, that we're in, this is 75 in San Francisco, and there's an invitation to this club, this Hindu club. Now, it was a feast, and everybody got fed, nice prasadam. Then Prabhupada was on stage. He was going to speak to the group, to the club members, and to the devotees. So, in the front line, front area, a couple levels, were devotees sitting in the front. Prabhupada's up on stage. And so behind the devotees were the women, and the kids running all over the place, making noise, and the women screaming at each other, and nonstop chatter. You see women on Prikama, they don't stop talking for a minute. I mean, the whole time they go around, there's four or five of them together, and they're all talking at the same time. What can be heard? And so, anyway, this happened again. All these women were speaking and screaming at each other, and the men in the back were yelling, and they were talking loud voice, and nobody was listening to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, "Please, please, I beg you. You're born, you have the greatest heritage, your pious birth. It can't be more pious than being born in India. So all Indians have that great advantage that you have a leaping step. You got like your forerunners in this movement, because ultimately, you know, you know from the beginning of your birth you're not your body." In any case, the member of the group, the head of the group, came over and he says, "Please," Prabhupada is saying, "please do not be swayed by the dollar bill." And so the dollar bill is just a symbol, and ultimately, do not take it as your life source. Do not forget your heritage. And the guy garlanded Prabhupada with dollar bills, And the tears were shooting out of Prabhupada's eyes and bathing all the devotees of us in the front. And so Prabhupada was so affected by that ultimately I understood, first off, why he had to come to America to preach, because he wasn't being heard in India. And ultimately this was the case in this group. And there are many many stories about Prabhupada that are not known. And another story is that Shama Sundar was telling me that there was one case, they were on their way to see Bhaktivinoda's youngest son, who was still alive. And so they were come to a point where there's a bridge that was all broken. They couldn't go across the bridge. And the place was just nearby, so they couldn't, there's no way to get around this. They had to go over that bridge. And so he says, "Okay, all you sannyasis, get out of the car." So Brahmananda, I think, and everybody got out of the car. And so Then, okay, back it up. Okay, backs up the car. It was an old Hudson, some 1940 Hudson or something. And says, okay, I want you to gun it as fast as you can. And so he did it. He just gunned that car and he just shot up and went right over the bridge and landed on the other side. And Prabhupada, you know, didn't say anything. Just, okay, get in the car. And so these are stories that are just so delightful. And the one with the young girl, Saraswati. So Saraswati had access to Prabhupada's room at any time, more than anybody. She could walk in any time of day or night and be very happy, content, but she was always eating something. So the eating was going on nonstop. And Prabhupada, he looked at her and he says, you know, Saraswati, you remind me of a New York garbage truck. You know what that is? He said, what is a New York garbage truck? Do you know? He said, no, I don't know. So he said, well, it's a big machine and it opens up and it swallows all kinds of food and stuff and it closes down and it eats it. And you're like that garbage truck. You're always eating stuff and stuff in your mouth. And so she kept eating and but kept coming in and out of Prabhupada's room. And so these stories go on and on and on, but I'm doing another version. More of those stories will come out. Any questions? I think I've run my time. Any more stories you want to? I got more stories if you want to. I can give a couple more. Okay, there's a story about Prabhupada when he's only a baby and he's in a carriage, a bullock cart carriage with his mother and aunt, I guess. And so they're coming down the streets of Calcutta really fast. The bullock carts are going top speed. And so they hit a bump and the whole thing just shattered. And Prabhupada goes flying out of the, he's a baby, like, you know, just maybe 6 months old. And he goes, he remembers, he's flying out of the arms of his mother and lands in some soft grass. He remembers that, 6 months old, flying out. So he ends up, you know, safe, but the others got hurt. And so he early remembrances were go back that far when he was like just young, and he remembered, you know, people coming dancing, and then the incident where he almost got killed by a Muslim. All those early remembrances are pretty strong in Prabhupada's life. And he talked about something that Ramachar brings it out in his car conversation, that they're talking about Vietnam. And so the reason for Vietnam, Prabhupada said, for two things. They wanted to kill all the blacks, and they wanted to kill all the hippies. That was the reason for the Vietnam War. Wow. And so Prabhupada says, it was prolonged, there was no end to it, they could have stopped that, they could have ended that war in a minute, but they wanted to go as long as possible, and they did, they stopped the hippie movement. Ultimately, they drafted all these people, and hippies were no longer known. And so, the movement goes on, and time has run out, and no questions, any questions? You got a microphone, somebody?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, the other day, we were supposed to be like honeybees looking for all the good stuff in everybody, and that example was given, and I just had a question, considering what, and today you mentioned the word dream stealer or something. So regarding those people that go around looking for the good stuff in everybody, you know, trying to look for the dreams or whatever, you know, but using it for their own, you know, we can look at the good stuff and somehow or other use it for Krishna service, or we can look at the good stuff in everybody and use it for our own cult, molding of ourselves to the utmost, but it's for our own. So I don't know if you could kind of...
What's the question? I don't understand.
How looking at the good stuff in people, instead of using it for Krishna service, we're using it for our own aggrandization. I mean, how we can...
Well, first off, we look at the positive. I mean, we amplify everything that's positive and avoid negative. There's a song about that. But at any rate, using what is positive in anything around us, of course, you know, we use everything in Krishna's service. And so whatever is available, take advantage of it. If it's positive, then ultimately it should be used. So that means, you know, material, microphone, Prabhupada always went on about that. Anything material, you use it in Krishna's service. But it's to be used in serving Krishna, not for our own service. And so if we keep hanging on to everything and we use it for our own service, ultimately, you know, you become dissatisfied and you'll start finding problems. In fact, I mean, there's so much cheating goes on in the world. Even devotees, they get affected by that. Little people coming out of the village and they suddenly they're dressed in, you know, silk and got Rolex and they're driving a car. How does that happen? I mean, where's that money coming from? And so you can't digest it. One occasion, there was one devotee, sannyasi, who was going out the gate in Mayapur, and he had a briefcase. And so, I won't mention his name, but Prabhupada just stopped that man. And so he screamed at him, and one devotee, Tapa Moy, ran as fast as he could to the front gate and grabbed him. And unfortunately, his briefcase opened up. It was full of $100 bills. So he was stealing, like, you know, big, huge amounts, you know. And so it doesn't do you any good to do that, is it? I mean, you can take allotted, you get a certain amount. When you're born, you're going to give a certain amount of money. If you work hard, you get it quicker. If you don't work so hard, it comes anyway. And so take what you can and use it. Don't take any more. That's the thing when Prabhupada said about these big, famous, wealthy people. So where do you go and Mr. Hunt, who is, like, you know, biggest, one of the wealthiest guys in the world? And what will you say to him if you get access there, walk in front of his mansion? He says, well, we'll ask him to be a life member. He said, no, you call him a thief. You've taken more than your quota. So ultimately, if you take more than what you really need, then ultimately you're asking for trouble because you don't need it. So just give it away. If you get a lot of money, okay, you can use it in Krishna's service. There's many ways to do that. But use what you have to the best you can. Whatever, I mean, my view on pure devotional life begins with doing everything purely. That whatever you have in your facility, whatever you do, whatever service you have, do it with the best you can possibly do. In other words, do things as purely and find new ways to do things that you haven't found before. I've been on the altar 36 years, and I find new ways to do it. Always something more can be done. Improve your service as much as you can, whatever you do. So does that cover your question?
And dealing with people supposedly meant to look at the good stuff, but actually...
Yeah. Well, you look at Super Soul in the heart of everybody, so there's something big. I mean, Prabhupada did that. Whoever he came in contact with, he could turn it around, turn anybody around to be Krishna conscious. And so we have to do that also. Whatever we see in a person, look for the good. And if there's no good, avoid them. Really important, avoid those people who make dress as devotees and they just come to sap your energy and to take you for a ride. So better to just be careful of your association. Associate, preach, and ultimately keep your focus. In other words, you got to build a platform. You got to have your own barrier so you can only take so much, and then ultimately you don't invade that space. That's where I find my shelter, and that's where I work with Krishna. And so that's the answer. Just know how to be careful in your association. Anybody else? Any question? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi.